Dan, answer your computer phone.
Is anybody feeling particularly tech-savvy?
I might be, but probably not.
I'll just make up words. It's okay.
Welcome to another stirring edition of the PC Gamer Podcast. It's Thursday, September 17th. This is episode number 192. I'm your host, Evan Lottie, associate editor for PC Gamer Magazine. And I'm joined by Dan Stapleton, who has developed a new interest in surveillance within the office.
Ichuta!
Is that a quote from Jedi Knight?
Well, Star Wars, yeah.
Star Wars, okay.
Ewok, right?
No, fail.
Jawa?
Tusken?
No.
No, that's not Tusken. That's too high-pitched.
All right, we'll come back to the Star Wars languages. It was definitely Star Wars.
You people disappoint me.
Oh, I'm sad. Well, Josh Augustine doesn't disappoint me, and he's here. What's your title, Josh? I don't know.
Editor. Just normal editor.
At this point, he's contributing editor for us. Well,
oh, there we go.
But he's also an editor for World of Warcraft, the magazine.
Yes, which is tons of fun and wonderful.
I'm glad to hear that. We can't wait to see it. We're also joined, of course, by Andy Bauman, our podcast producer.
Hello, Evan. What's going on?
Hi, Andy.
What's up?
I got a new Nerf gun today, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, man. I've got Balls Geek Beer, which is like root beer, but better because it has caffeine in it. So I'm feeling good, too.
Does it taste like root beer or actual beer?
No. It's root beer, but it's because root beer is really good, but it doesn't have caffeine, so it's useless. Essentially.
Yeah, so basically what they did was they took root beer and made it taste like crap.
What? They took the great tasting of root beer and made it useful to your life, is what they did.
Isn't the sugar in there enough? You need the caffeine too?
Let's all
ponder this controversial topic in the background. Something very non-controversial that we're very sure about. Batman Arkham Asylum is a great game, very well received. And for whatever reason, I haven't played it yet. But Dan has, and I'm sure you've been dying or at least suffering a whole lot wanting to tell everybody about that, Dan.
I have received it very well, in fact.
Well.
As a lifelong Batman fan, he's long been my favorite superhero. It's just really, really gratifying to see him get an awesome game. Because so many superhero games are just awful. I guess the best one recently would have been X-Men Origins Wolverine, which was just okay. You know, it had some decent brawling, but the story was a tie-in with the awful, awful movie, and therefore, kind of screwed up that whole game. One thing it had in common with Batman actually was the repetitive mini-boss fights where you jump on the backs of the guys, but it still wasn't as good as Batman's. Getting a little bit ahead of myself there, but basically, Batman Arkham Asylum is awesome. It's one of the best fighting brawling games I've ever played. The challenge modes where, like, as you go through, you unlock, fight scenes where a bunch of thugs come at you, and then you can go into the extras in the menu and play the fight mode or challenge mode and try and beat them up as thoroughly as possible. Just doing that alone has had me playing long after I finished the story, which was also great. Josh, have you played it at all?
Yeah, I played probably just like the first 10 minutes, to be honest. I started it really late and I was really tired, so... The intro is really cool, and it's still kind of the tutorial where they're teaching you how to do the moves, and so there were no combos or anything for attack, so it's pretty basic, just spam the attack and people die. But yeah. It was really fun.
Well, yeah, and that's one thing, like when the demo first came out, I was kind of down on it because just that first fight, it's like, okay, all you're doing is clicking to punch and right click to block or to counter. When somebody's about to attack you, right click and he does a counter move that knocks him down. And it was like, oh, okay, is that all there is? But it's actually so much more complicated than that. And actually very difficult to do really well. It's all about timing, and my timing is admittedly terrible. But when you're surrounded by thugs and they're all coming at you, just the getting out of the way of guys that are going to overwhelm you and all attack you at the same time, positioning yourself right, using you can do about 9 different moves. So if you use them all, you get a variety bonus and use them all within one combo string, which is in the story game gives you an experience bonus, which lets you then unlock more moves. In the challenge mode, it just beefs up your score. But the combo system, like usually fighting game combo systems don't appeal to me at all. But this one, it really has hooked me in because it's such a easy to learn, difficult to master kind of thing.
With that in mind, Dan, would you say it was kind of my impression previewing the game that the presentation was what was going to be what hooked me in? The grittiness of the environment, the extremely high quality character models, the voice acting. Would you say that it's the presentation or the combat system that's more of an asset to the game for you?
For me, like all the presentation in the world won't save a bad game. So it's the presentation is definitely a great part of it. But if that had been all it was, my initial impression of the demo was, this looks fantastic, but the fighting is not exciting. So I'm not that excited about it.
Right.
Having gotten a little bit deeper into it, the fighting is a great game. So all the presentation just enhances that. And the presentation is awesome. There are a couple of voice actors that aren't quite up to snuff, and like some of the minor character models aren't nearly up to the same standard as Batman, the Joker, and Harley Quinn, for example. But they're just on screen for a few seconds anyway, so it doesn't really impact the game. And the voice acting, if anybody's a fan of the Batman animated series,
yes.
I grew up on that. For me, that like Kevin Conroy is the voice of Batman for me.
Yeah, me
and,
too.
And Mark Hamill is the Joker. So just hearing those guys reprise their roles is awesome.
That like sold me on the game. First as I heard that, I was like, yes, done.
Yep.
Yeah. I saw you having a conversation over Twitter, I think, with the reviews editor of PC Gamer UK.
Yeah, Craig Pearson.
Craig Pearson, who didn't seem to think that Mark Hamill was still a good fit for the Joker. He was comparing him to Stewie from Family Guy.
Yeah, I mean he's a little bit cynical of a guy, but he's a good guy. Maybe if you like, it's the first time you hear that voice. I don't know if they even aired that show in the UK, so he could be new to it. And I went back and listened to it again to see what he was talking about. Comparing him to Stewie Griffin, and maybe a little bit of a similarity. I think that's a bit of a stretch though, and he's not doing like a and it feats British accent, for example.
Of course.
But I mean, there's a little bit of the similarity in like some of his intonations, but not it's certainly not that similar.
Yeah.
He was also bitching about the Games for Windows Live integration, which I'm not a Games for Windows Live fan at all, but yeah, I mean it's pretty unobtrusive. It's pretty much just there for the online leaderboards and the save game stuff, I don't know why anybody ties save games to Games for Windows Live. Just let me save the game, please. that's just annoying.
Yeah.
Other than that, it doesn't intrude on the game at all, fortunately.
Good. So it's a great brawler, but the other side of Batman, sneaking around, detective work, is there any side of that in there in the game too?
Oh yeah, did you not get to see any of that in the brief part you played?
No,
yeah.
I just ran into a hallway and beat a few guys up.
Right. They do have the stealth mode where you're picking off guys one at a time. You deal with unarmed guys or guys armed with clubs or whatever. You can jump in and fight them, but guys with guns, Batman is a bullet permeable hero, so you can't take a whole lot of bullets. So. You have to take a stealth approach to them and the game sets it up so that they rarely mix up a lot of armed and unarmed villains or enemies. So you will walk into a room and you'll see some armed guys and you immediately grapple your way up to some stone gargoyles that are up in the rooftops or up around the ceiling of Arkham Asylum. And and you just hang out up there and swoop down and pick off the guys as they stray from each other, because it's an excellent emulation of movie villain stupidity, because these guys will they'll kind of just wander off on their own, and you'll pick them off, and then like they'll spot the guys that are still standing will spot the unconscious guy, and they'll go, oh crap, he's out there, and they'll bunch up for a little while, and then they'll gradually wander off again from each other. So it's like, okay, you're being really stupid. Okay, that's smart. Stupid. but you know, it's interesting. You know, it doesn't feel like you can really easily game the system. My biggest complaint about the game, it's not really that big of a complaint at all, really. It's Batman has a detective mode. You hit X and it switches into
X-ray skeleton vision. Yeah.
Activates the vision mode where the screen turns blue and you can see skeleton, like the outlines and skeletons of enemies through walls from like 100 meters away. And that's like, Batman shouldn't really be able to do that. it's kind of out of character. It's more of a Superman thing. I guess you could say that in The Dark Knight they had that sonar thing. Which
yeah. I was going to say, I need the sonar thing that I try to forget about.
Right. But it's kind of like that, I guess, but they don't really set that up in the story. They just have it like something he switches on and off at will.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of at odds with the fiction, but at the same time, it really makes the stealth missions much, much easier. If you didn't have that, it would be much more frustrating. Because,
sure.
Or for people that are a little bit impatient when it comes to stealth games like myself, because, you know, you don't know who's going to come around a corner unless you stand there and for like half an hour watching movement patterns. So this just lets you, you know, get in there and do it, finish them off quickly. That's another challenge mode, actually, is they time how quickly you can take out a certain number of armed thugs.
Right. So it's kind of a situation where most players or certain players would want to maybe exercise some restraint and not use it in every situation.
Oh yeah. I mean, like the problem that I had with it is that it is too useful. I mean, there's no real reason to ever turn it off, because I mean, it's also highlighting, secrets and stuff, throughout the game. So you kind of want to have it on so you don't miss these secrets, but, it also makes a beautiful game look not so beautiful.
Yeah.
So I found myself turning it off a lot.
I definitely know what you mean. It's sort of a situation where the game becomes more of a game and less of an experience, where you're actively trying to, you know, beat things and find things and win instead of just sort of participating in the combat. But
right, you're trying to, you know, trying to basically exploit every advantage you can within the game's rules, and it makes it less of an experience and more of a let's see how if I can like beat the game, you know. You're trying to like outsmart the game at its own game,
right?
Which I think is less fun than going through kind of as the game is intended and just experiencing it.
I would agree. So something we've been playing a hell of a lot of in the office this week, less myself but more everybody else, Jedi Knight and Dark Forces, which came out, LucasArts released on Steam this week. I'm not sure what the prices are. Can you remind me, Dan?
I think it's $20 for the whole Jedi Knight package, which is all it's Dark Forces, Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, Jedi Knight 2, Outcast, Jedi Outcast, and okay, and they also have Mystery of the Sith, Mysteries of the Sith, the expansion to Jedi Outcast, and then they have Jedi Academy, which was the last Jedi Knight game. Why the hell did they ever stop making those games? I don't get it.
I don't know. Did the developer move on to something else? Who is the original developer? It's LucasArts, right?
LucasArts made Dark Forces and Jedi Knight, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Outcast and Academy were made by Raven.
Okay. Interesting. So out of this bundle, Dan, what's the must-play game in the series?
I'd probably say Jedi Outcast is my favorite.
That was my favorite, too.
Yeah, it's like we've been playing Jedi Knight 2, just the or Jedi Knight 1 rather, Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight 1, because that's not confusing at all. We've been playing that for some of our retro game club coverage, and it's really shocking how bad it looks. I mean, you know, it's really chunky in a lot of places.
Yeah, I saw you were having a conversation with one of our readers on the our Facebook page about whether or not the game holds up, how it holds up, and somebody brought up Half-Life and saying that the game, you know, maybe compares to Half-Life or it looks as good as Half-Life in its time. And I think they're about a year apart in the release date. And I think I was saying to you, like, it seems like Jedi Knight is just kind of a step away from sprite-based graphics more than anything else. It's barely 3D. I mean, especially in the animations and.
Well, I believe it's the original Quake engine, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, which does not look fantastic by any means.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it. So,
and Half-Life 1 was as well, or was that Half-Life 1 Quake 2? We're gonna have to look this up.
It's definitely Quake 2.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll confirm. So, it's the Sith engine. It's an early example of a data-driven engine in the games industry. Now we know.
Yeah. So I guess it was around the same time as like Quake 1. So yeah, it was like a first generation. Fully 3D engine, which was not very good looking at all. And at the time, I'm sure it was. I seem to recall being wowed by it at the time, but now it does not hold up. And this is why, like, when people throw, you know, fits over stylized graphics, I think they're out of their minds, because a few years down the line, those stylized graphics are going to look way better than anything that tries to be realistic at this point. I mean, look, just this is a great example of where stylized graphics could have eased the pain of age in a game. But yeah, if getting back to the comment about comparing to Half-Life, there's really not much of a contest between this and Half-Life. Half-Life looks exponentially better, and it's actually kind of shocking that they're only a year apart.
I'd agree. I mean, I think personally, Half-Life doesn't hold up for me right now if you're not playing Half-Life Source.
Oh no, it doesn't hold up either.
But
certainly by modern standards, it looks like, you know, it looks terrible. But yeah. But you know, looking at it in comparison to Jedi Knight, it's a huge step up.
Certainly, yeah. The particle effects, the explosions. Definitely stand out better.
Yeah, and you know, not to rag on Jedi Knight too much. I mean, for its time, it like I said, when it first came out, I think I was pretty wowed by it. But that was what, 1997, I believe.
Yeah.
But and how can we not mention the cutscenes?
I don't know.
They're just fantastically bad. It looks almost as if George Lucas directed them himself.
Oh. Ouch.
It's really some terrible acting, and writing, and yeah, but it's humorous. There's also the worst Sith Lord ever.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Like the main bad guy.
Yeah, Jarek. He's just, it's not good. It's not pretty.
Jarek. I mean, it kind of sounds like one of those 1980s college movies where he's the leader of the preps or something, like the jocks or whatever.
He has like these little tiny glasses and then like tattoos on his mouth that are like catfish whiskers. I don't get it.
I mean, doesn't Jarek just sound like somebody that would like make fun of you for being a nerd and like knock your books out of your hand or something? I think it does.
That's Derek.
Derek. Okay. Yeah. Or Lance.
our apologies to anybody out there named Derek.
Oh yeah, my bad.
So what's like the Sith Lord's like big deal? Like, why does he have those weird whisker tattoos?
You know, I don't know if they really get into the you know, why the whiskers are there.
Okay, I'm just gonna have to play through for the lore again.
Yeah, and it's kind of painful, but also kind of amusing.
So do you think it's a pretty big undertaking to kind of revamp the graphics for something like this? Because they did it with Monkey Island. I was waiting to see if they'd do it for any of the other games. Maybe I'm hoping TIE Fighter, if they re-release that, you know, kind of touch up the graphics for that. Is it a big deal to just kind of port this to a newer engine or something?
Yeah, that's a pretty significant undertaking to if they wanted to do that. I mean, Valve did it with Half-Life Source, and it really didn't look much better. It had like some effect, like the water looked much better, but because all the models were old and not good, it was all the same art and stuff. If you wanted to redo all the art, that would be a huge undertaking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. For Monkey Island, that's obviously a 2D situation. If we're talking about Secret,
yeah.
they're just painting new pictures, basically.
Yeah, and there's exponentially more art in a game like Jedi Knight, and it would be a big job. Actually, somebody has done it. If you Google around, I posted this link on the Facebook page. I'll have to post it to our Delicious page as well. But somebody made an update for the graphics. Let's see. You can find it at jkhub.net/project/show.php?projid=242.
Oh my god, Dan. Oh my god.
Everybody was just like, what the hell?
you can also, I think, Google Jedi Knight Enhanced. That's probably much easier.
Ah.
But it's, I'm not certain this is going to work with the Steam edition. In fact, it very well might not. So, if somebody out there wants to give it a try and then post in the forum and let us know how to do it, that'd be great, because there are some screenshots posted here that look much, much better.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Have you guys seen the video for the Galactic Warfare mod for Call of Duty 4?
I did, yeah.
Oh my goodness. It's not released yet, and I think it's like a Dutch or it's somebody European, some group of European modders that are producing it, but it's basically kind of a Dark Forces multiplayer game within the Call of Duty engine. Which is lovely.
Intriguing.
I mean, you're like iron sighting through blasters. Just search Galactic Warfare Star Wars mod, and it should pop up for you.
I think that as stormtroopers, you shouldn't be allowed to use the iron sights. You should just be spraying wildly and never hit anything. I did watch that trailer. And I thought something offended me about the sound effects. It's like they use some like wrong sound effects for those blasters. It's like, no, any Star Wars nerd knows that is not how a blaster sounds.
They're not pew pewy enough, or
excuse me, sir. But yeah, that looks pretty cool, and they did a very good recreation of Tatooine, and for that trailer.
Yeah,
this city looks great.
I really think it's the right engine for it, because naturally, Call of Duty 4 is an extremely like fast paced, you're sprinting everywhere kind of game. Everybody's moving around, respawning constantly. Yeah, I'm really hoping it turns out well, and they execute it relatively soon.
Well, I know with mods are always kind of iffy like that. I mean, they're labors of love, and they and modders like are under no real obligation to finish at a set amount of time. They're not being paid for their work, so they're just going to take their time and do it. You know, however long it takes to be done. Some of them don't put out unfinished versions for people to play around with, and sometimes they're never completed. So, whenever I find a good mod in progress that I really want to play, I try and forget about it. I file it away, and you know, maybe check back in a year.
Yeah,
because
I definitely know what you're talking about. So in this slim week of news, I want to get your guys' thoughts on, I mean, for me, this is kind of what I care about, you know, where my friends are at, you know, what games they're playing in the multiplayer space, in the multiplayer arena. Right now, that tends to be TF2. It used to be Left 4 Dead earlier this year. But what do we think the next big multiplayer game players are going to migrate to over the past, you know, in the next 3 or 4 months, you know, say up until next February? So that would include Borderlands, that would include Left 4 Dead 2, that would include Battlefield 1943, probably League of Legends, Josh, Modern Warfare 2, of course, and Global Agenda. Am I forgetting any other big ones?
Not in the shooter realm, or I guess if you want to expand it to strategy, there might be a few others, but
StarCraft 2.
Yeah,
hopefully.
But yeah, I expect Left 4 Dead 2 to recapture the hearts of at least our our local group. Probably some Modern Warfare 2, but I don't know. I never really played Modern Warfare multiplayer much. I think Punk Buster for some reason screwed me up, and I could never get it working right.
Same situation. Punk Buster's awful. I really hope Activision avoids that. I don't know why they didn't do something proprietary. It's just a bad service.
But and personally, I wasn't all that enamored of Modern Warfare to begin with. I mean, it was good. It was a very well presented game, but the gameplay was too basic for me.
I think it's a fantastically balanced and paced game, and bear with me on this. It's going to sound like really kind of crazy and maybe stupid, but the particle size of the bullets is sort of designed for a console experience where you can hit somebody within a larger area. Like, the weapons don't feel as precise.
You sir are crazy and stupid.
I know.
So you're saying it's contarded?
No, I think they I don't know if it's the particle size of the bullet, but I think it's a slight amount of auto aim.
Yeah, there's that to some extent, maybe, and also the fact that when you hit somebody, if you're not playing in a hardcore mode, I believe, you get this your reticle sort of spikes. Like, you get this visual feedback of like, oh, I hit somebody, even if you didn't see him, even if you're shooting through a wall, and that's cool. But, you know, is that the kind of game I want to play? Maybe not.
Well, are you looking for an ultra-realistic army shooter or military shooter? Because I know where you can find one.
I'm sure you do. I mean, I'll kind of go where my friends are, honestly. You know, I think that's the case with most of us in multiplayer games.
I really think Left 4 Dead 2 is going to be the big one. I mean, Battlefield, 1943, Call of Duty, those will have, you know, bits too, but Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, I think Left 4 Dead 2 will take the cake for at least like 3 months.
Yeah.
That's what Left 4 Dead 1 did.
But yeah, exactly. That's the thing, though. I have not really come back to, and my group of friends online hasn't come back to it in, you know, honestly, maybe 5 months in any kind of serious capacity. Like, we consume the content in that game over and over and over again, and we're just completely done with it. We never had a reason to come back to it. Even with survival mode, it was very kind of touch and go with us. And I think a lot of people had that experience. They consume the content in the game, and they're done with it.
Right, but I mean, you say you consume the content in that game. How long did that take you? There were a couple of months there where you were playing that pretty hardcore.
Yeah, right. That's certainly true. But if we're thinking what's going to be like the new king of multiplayer games, what's going to sort of take that prime position for the most people?
For the most people in general, or for us?
Well, yeah, either way, for us personally, I mean, that's kind of all we can speak in.
And I think that the most people in general are probably going to flock to Modern Warfare 2.
Sure.
That's the crowd pleaser.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead, the thing with me is, it isn't as kind of dynamic and changing as something like Team Fortress 2 or Modern Warfare multiplayer, where there is a lot of scripted elements, where after you've played it for 3 months, if you play it again, it's going to be very similar. You can have different if you're playing against, you know, player-controlled infected, but it's still going to be very similar. So that's why I got bored with it, you know, after a few months.
Right. But it did take a few months, which you know, given that you are playing the same levels over and over again, that's still pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. It's a great game. Nothing against it. Just as king of multiplayer, I think it takes more than just a few months to be the king of multiplayer. Right. League of Legends, I'm kind of disappointed. The queue times to get in a game, because, you know, it has automatic matchmaking, are getting really long, and I just keep seeing more and more people talking about Heroes of New Earth. So I'm just going to have to jump over to that boat and try it out and see, because I really love League of Legends. Like Dan was talking about stylized graphics earlier. I love stylized graphics. There's nothing I like more about a game than stylized, heavy stylized graphics. And so I'm bummed because I really want League of Legends to be incredible and the big blockbuster multiplayer. But everyone that likes that type of game that I talk to is over on Heroes of New Earth. So I don't know if they're giving out more beta invites or what, but
I think you should just stop talking to all those people.
No, they have been giving out a ton of beta invites. I've seen it on various sites and on Twitter lately. But, I mean, do you think that the accessibility of one of those games is going to be successful? Because, my natural instinct is, this is sort of a niche concept, you know. Even Demigod, which arguably has a more Western feel to it than League of Legends. I don't know about Heroes of New Earth. I haven't seen it in motion. I kind of think that those games can't have a mass appeal for whatever reason, just because they're very stylized. But then again, look at WoW.
I don't think that it's more Western. I just think it's much more accessible. But the brief time I spent in Heroes of New Earth was very, very dense in terms of like things you have to learn, things you have to take into account. Demigod had no tutorial. This had no tutorial either. And Demigod, you can figure out if you stick with it for a while. This one, I think, would take significantly longer to figure out.
Yeah, and the trouble with Heroes of New Earth is it is a lot of the Dota community, because it is almost a straight Dota port, and the Dota community is not helpful at all. So that's the trouble with learning it, where in League of Legends, you know, I could ask a couple questions, and, you know, people would help you out. You know, you just join a practice game. Heroes of New Earth, in the game that I played, I'd ask a couple questions, people would just not respond, or be like, LOL, noob. As okay, I'm trying to figure this out, I want to be a better teammate, but they just are no help.
They hate themselves and you.
Yes. But yeah, so I'm going to jump in there and try that out. I agree. It's never going to be, you know, the big multiplayer game. But, you know, it is, I mean, it's as multiplayer kind of as RPGs get.
Yeah, fair to say. I think it'll certainly be interesting to see if the PC crowd is going to jump on something like Battlefield 1943 at all. You know, being a smaller title with fewer maps, conceivably, I'm not sure. But and even if something like the BioShock 2 multiplayer actually turns out to be worthwhile and worth spending time in and worth investing in. All right, so the next topic I want to get you guys talking about, it's kind of an unusual one, kind of a super nerdy one, but that's okay. That's what we do. I think one of the things about games that maybe people don't talk enough about or maybe have a good understanding of is what a game mechanic is. And then first of all, I can't really describe it concretely, but I like to think that game mechanics are sort of aspects of a game that make something happen, that drive something forward. You can sort of think of them as a rule. I think, you know, they're not items, they're not control schemes, but something like...
They're kind of tools for accomplishing something towards the goal of the game.
Yeah, if you sort of visualize, you know, two sort of clock gears and one is moving the other forward, you know, and maybe one of those mechanics is getting an extra ball in Peggle. So that turns something and then you get an extra ball and then you can keep playing further. That's a game mechanic. The Uber charge in TF2, that's a game mechanic. Drifting in a racing game, that's arguably a game mechanic. So I want to get you guys to maybe think of a specific game mechanic or two or three that gives you a great feeling that it, for some reason, sticks out to you. And yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, just having spent a bunch of time in Jedi Knight, where this is notably absent, location-based damage for me makes shooters much, much more interesting to play. Like, you know, headshots or wounding and like Left 4 Dead 2 is going to have, you know, the ability to blow pieces off of a zombie. For me, that's incredibly
rewarding.
It does
to a certain extent change the gameplay because, you know, if you can score a headshot, you take down enemies faster.
But it's kind of not that crucial a thing. I mean, you're just shooting guys still, but it really adds something to a shooter for me.
I definitely know what you're talking about. I think the first time I experienced that was in the original Counter-Strike 1.6, where most servers had this mod in place where as soon as you died or when somebody, you know, when somebody killed you and you damaged them, you'd have this list of, you know, you hit them in the head, you hit them in the torso, in the arm. And just knowing like that fidelity was in place in the environment, that a random spray of bullets, you know, and having that concept of where they hit and that they did damage, it's just great feedback, right? It's great feedback in the sense that you can kind of iterate on between rounds, between respawns, what you did wrong. Like, okay, I only hit this guy on the shoulder. I need to maybe move my crosshair this way or crouch a little better or something. But yeah, I definitely recognize that, Dan. That's a good one.
Yeah, the big thing for me is I'm pretty... stealth. Any game that has stealth, I always love the stealth kind of character, like the spy in Team Fortress 2, any sort of rogue or thief character. I just love being able to sneak around and kind of take my time checking out the area before, you know, I have people jumping all over me.
Those are great when they work well. I think the most recent one I played, a game I played, besides Batman. Batman is has excellent stealth mechanics. But besides Batman, the most recent one I played when I used stealth was Fallout 3. And Bethesda games tend to have stealth as kind of like the way around most combat, or the way to make combat easier if you don't want to be a fighter. And therefore it's kind of unbalanced, which made it a little bit less fun for me. The reward for getting away with something is less, when it's harder to get caught at it, and, you know, harder to pay a price for messing it up.
Yeah. I like it as kind of a preemptive, before you go into the attack, allows you to kind of gain more knowledge about the environment and gain, kind of watch the people and kind of plan and make better tactical decisions beforehand. It just makes the games feel more meaningful and more accomplished afterwards, rather than just running in gun blazings constantly, like Serious Sam or something like that. You just shoot. Like, you can actually think through it and be like, hey, that guy, you know, turns this corner, then this guy, you know, goes for a nap every 15 minutes. So if I attack right now, then you kind of map it all out. Then when you're done, you feel so much better about it because you thought it through and made a plan and kind of thought the enemy.
Let me ask you, a great opportunity to plant a grenade in their pants.
Yes.
Definitely. Josh, I'm really glad you brought up the spy from TF2. That was one that I was going to bring up. And honestly, like, people need to recognize, you know, within a multiplayer game, you have 9 classes, and to be able to have one of those classes be their main mechanic where they can turn invisible for X amount of seconds and reappear behind an enemy or a sentry turret and destroy it or just instantly kill that enemy. To build that mechanic into a game and still have it be balanced among those classes, that's a pretty incredible, honestly, to me. I mean, it's a credit to Valve's level designers, for one thing, to take those kind of things into account, those, you know, very complex, specific mechanics that, you know, can be deadly by the right player, but still need to be balanced by, you know, certain bottlenecks and certain avenues. But it's incredibly fun to fill that role, I think. I tend to play more soldier, but I love playing spy. It's fantastic. Just the feeling of deception, the feeling of being a scout behind enemy lines and being able to provide information to your teammates of, you know, what's about to happen. It's really fantastic.
Josh, did you ever play the Hitman games?
I did. I really enjoyed the Hitman games. I only played, I believe, the first one whole way through and the second one a little bit.
The second one was a bit of a misstep. I recommend the third one most.
Okay, what's the third one called?
Third one is...
is that Blood Money?
Blood Money was the fourth one.
Okay. Dude, the UK guys rave about the Hitman series, especially, I think, the third one. Like, top game of all time, you know?
Really?
It's pretty funny to hear them talk about it. It's like, wow, I really should be aware of this. Like, you know.
I wouldn't go quite that far, but it's very good. I mean, there are just so many different ways to accomplish your you know, to hit your target without even being spotted, or even just going with guns blazing. I mean, there's so much flexibility with it. The level design, and the second one, they went over the top with just like all kinds of exotic locations that just like it was like a Japanese fortress. It's like, no, that's not interesting. You want like everyday real locations. That they're the most interesting for me.
Josh, I want to ask you a question about your stealth game mechanics, because I like stealth and everything too, like, a lot. And one of the missions in Call of Duty 4, did you play the whole thing?
I did not play Call of Duty 4 at all.
I did.
Well, all gillied up. Yeah. It's a badass mission, but it's basically like an escorted romp. Like, you have a chaperone to help you go through all the stealth parts, which is actually kind of liberating, I thought.
I mean, that was kind of like a very interesting game.
Yeah, exactly. It was not really stealth, but at the same time, the like urgency of being hidden all the time in the right at the right time was like kind of put forth even more, because there was a lot of things where you would never be able to guess the timing without the chaperone of the other guy like telling you when to go and stuff.
Right, yeah. But I mean, for me, it's like the gameplay of that whole sequence is, okay, Simon Says kind of thing. It's like, sure. He says, hide, you push control and duck, you know?
But for some reason or another, I thought it was like such a incredibly eye-opening stealth piece, set piece.
Yeah. I was bored.
I think if I'm correct, Andy, you sort of called it tense. I think at the same time, it's also a restful moment within the campaign where you're not guns blazing, you're not killing every single guy in sight.
Yeah, maybe that sort of has a lot to do with it, is the pacing of it.
Yeah. For me, it felt like a tutorial level. And like I was expecting there, like after that, for them to take the training wheels off and have a mission.
Dude, but there
where
was some,
I have to.
Like some of those spots where you had to get through, for example, when you run out in the street, go under the cars, wait for the other car to drive up, crawl under that car, like that kind of you would never be able to do on your own. You'd never be able to figure that out. And it kept the game so tense at that part. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. If you go and play Hitman, you'll see that they don't hold your hand for a lot of that stuff. And you know that's just like one of the options is to go and do something like that.
Yeah.
Like where you really carefully time it out, or you can take another path altogether.
Dude, maybe those are the best games ever.
I know. I totally fell off my radar after the second one because I did play like halfway through and I just wasn't as impressed, so I just stopped paying attention. So I'll have to go back and check that third one out.
Yeah. The fourth one was pretty good too. The fourth one was Blood Money. Although the economy aspect of it was kind of broken. They gave you way too much money.
Back to Call of Duty real quick. I think for Infinity Ward, that kind of hand-holding, so to speak, I don't mean that in a bad way, that's a big part of their design, and it's going to continue to be with Modern Warfare 2. And in the opening level, if you've seen any video, I don't think they put video out for
the
it. But
ice.
You're climbing the ice, and you're infiltrating this base. And it's actually Soap McTavish, which was your character, or one of your characters in the first game.
Yeah, who's one of them.
Yeah, who's mentoring you now. And again, sort of leading you forward and saying, I'll shoot this guy, you shoot this guy.
That makes sense in an opening level.
It does. So it's kind of something they do, and I think they do it well, in terms of making a very on-rails action movie kind of experience. But
would you call it a game mechanic?
Oh, I mean, feeling tethered to somebody and being sort of pulled along might be. I don't know.
Like, it's just a kind of a guided experience, it's a game mechanic.
Yeah, yeah. But so the one that I wanted to bring up is from a game that is not out yet, but I saw earlier this week Just Cause 2. Some of the folks from Square Enix, I'm still getting used to referring to them in the context of the PC, came by and showed it off to us. It's
Wait, don't you mean IDOS? I'm just kidding.
Well, IDOS.
Well, they are keeping the brand, aren't they?
They are.
Oh, okay.
They are.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and it's Avalanche Studios that are making the game. It relies on a grappling hook. That's kind of your main item. And again, an item is not a game mechanic per se, but what you do with it is, in the sense that the game has Havoc physics, and you can basically attach any item in the game to another item, and you can sort of only have one tether in place, and you can use the grappling hook, to sort of Spider-Man your way up buildings and whatnot. But one of the coolest things that they showed to us were, so if you're in a car chase, and first of all, they have a system in place where you can sort of crawl along the side of the car and on top of it and surf it and get in front and shoot through the windshield and then hijack it. So that's fine on itself, but you have enemies that are sort of sticking their body out of the car, and as you're driving, you grappling hook you grapple to them, and then you grapple to say a house that you're passing, and they get pulled out of the car, right? And they just get dragged, or you attach them to a second car that, and then they get dragged. Sort of reminds me of GTA and the physics system there, where you attach them to a barrel and then you shoot the bottom of the barrel, or actually like an oxygen tank or whatever, and then it sort of blasts off like a rocket, and they get pulled into the air and then sort of pulled into the distance. Just that kind of emergent, I don't know what to call it, like attaching things to other things.
It sounds like Gary's Mod.
A little bit. It really came off to me as an open world action game where you happen to also be Spider-Man and a stunt guy.
Yeah, the one thing that I loved, it's very similar to what you were doing, was they were driving a car, and as near a cliff, there was a base near a cliff with soldiers or whatever the enemies are. I forget, but
sure.
They drive the car right towards the cliff, jumps out right before, and then tags the guy to the car right as it's flying off the cliff. And so the guy just gets yanked right off the cliff and goes flying. I mean, it's just beautiful. And the hang glider, and that actually is really cool. Use the grappling hook to kind of get your speed to jump into a hang glider too.
Yeah. That's kind of a mechanic within itself, where if you sort of grapple the ground maybe 30 feet in front of you, and you're pulling yourself toward that ground, and as you're getting pulled, you let go, and then you activate your parachute, which sort of automatically flies out, and you glide forward to gain speed. I don't know. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I always meant to play Just Cause 1. It was kind of a divisive game. Chuck Osborne really loved it, and he gave it an editor's choice. But it you know, reviewed kind of mediocre in a lot of other places. But he really loved that grapple. It didn't have the ability to grapple one thing to another, but you can use your parachute and grapple. You can kind of do like a parasailing thing behind cars.
Right.
It's just, kind of really over the top, stunt mechanics and, or stunt, moves and stuff like that, that you can do. And it's just kind of ridiculous and fun if you don't want any actual realism in your game. So I've always meant to try that. I'm going to have to add it to my list, although my list is grew quite a bit yesterday.
Oh,
my
too.
List of games that I need to play.
Just wait for Just Cause.
Dude, I just added Hitman to my list, so now it's like way long.
Yeah.
Is Hitman on Steam?
I don't know. It is, yes.
It's there somewhere, yeah. I think Just Cause just has a bad name, frankly. It's kind of... I don't know. This is weird,
you don't like the title, Just Cause?
I don't like it. On my list. I mean,
it's apathetic for one thing. Like, what are you playing? Just cause. What are you playing? I don't know. Just cause.
I don't think that's the intended context of it.
In my world, it is.
So right. One other mechanic I want to bring up: squad-based, like teammates you can control. Like, you can give orders to, like, Mass Effect. Like, it's really basic there, but that kind of idea where you can kind of control your teammates and you're not just planning for yourself, you're planning for your whole squad. I really like that.
Ever play Brothers in Arms?
No. I played, like, the demo. That was it.
Yeah, those games are big on squad control.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely recommend Earned in Blood.
I'm writing that down. It's on my list.
All right,
let me make sure I got that. Oh no, it was Hell's Highway, not Earned in Blood. Well, Hell's Highway is the most recent one.
Yeah. I have a copy of that actually.
It's also on Steam.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thanks for the lovely discussion on game mechanics. Listeners, feel free to share your favorite game mechanics or ones that stick out to you as interesting or unique in the comments.
Hey, PC Gamer, this is Barry from Salt Lake City, Utah. I just need a little moral support. I've been a PC Gamer for a long time. I was playing games since my dad brought me home a 286 PC when I was about 10 years old. Right now, I'm just so frustrated. For some reason, I always get the video cards that overheat. I have an 8800 GT, and it just overheats. The computer dies. I literally have underclocked that thing about 50 megahertz on the core clock just to get through a game of Call of Duty 4, and that's with excellent ventilation and an aftermarket fan setup, which is very good. It keeps the temperatures very low. I have really bad luck. I was trying to play Bioshock. I couldn't get the sound to work. I was having all kinds of problems. Eventually, I just got so frustrated. I got so sick of looking through the boards for answers that I went and bought Bioshock on the PS3, and I've been playing it and enjoying it ever since. I just need a little moral support. I don't want to give up PC gaming. I love the genres that are on the PC, and I love the PC gaming, the whole scene. I just need...
We'll never know.
Better phone service.
What do you need? No.
No, that's the 1 minute
mark. I think we know what he needs. No, I mean, it is kind of a hassle sometimes. I mean, that does sound like it doesn't sound like an overheating problem so much as a bad card. I mean, I haven't even really heard of an 8800 GT ever overheating. Those things are great cards if they're working correctly. That one just sounds like you got a bum card, a lemon. And that's definitely unfortunate and can be soul crushing.
Yeah. I mean, certainly that downtime where you're looking through forum threads and trying to figure out if you got the drivers installed correctly, you're reformatting, you're doing all this crazy stuff to...
It is significantly less fun than actually playing a game.
It is significantly less fun. I mean, playing that process of elimination that kind of every PC gamer goes through, honestly, like when they install something new or something isn't going quite right. But
I like to say it's part of the hobby that you you tweak and try and get it to work correctly if it's, you know, but I ideally you're trying to make it work better since it's already working correctly. when it doesn't work at all, there is nothing worse than coming home with a game that you've been looking forward to, putting it in, and it doesn't work. There's nothing worse than that. That is just incredibly frustrating.
It's pretty bad,
right? Yeah. And it has made me, you know, just want to throw up my hands a few times.
Cried. You've wept. Yeah. Admit it.
I will not admit to ever having cried over a game.
Man, I'm wondering why he doesn't need moral support on how to aim with a console pad. Because I've picked up, you know, a shooter on a console, and I'm just like whining the whole time. I can't even like move. I'm like, like I can't even do it. I don't know how people do it.
You need to make that noise more often, Andy.
I'm sorry. I forgot what I was playing the other day, but we were trying to like shoot something with the gamepad, and it was just impossible.
It was making like a square around it.
Yeah, just like having to strafe to like kind of move up with it, and just like going back, forth, back. Like I couldn't even get it.
Yeah, it can be very frustrating.
Well, I was playing
the
demo of Killzone 2. That's what I was doing.
Although arguably, if you played enough, then you would, you know, get the hang of it a little better. But yeah, for me, it's never really been worth it.
Need some moral support for that. I'll tell you that much.
Clear there.
But I mean, yeah, I don't really know what to tell the guy. I mean, that's just an unquestionably really frustrating experience.
If he's having to specifically underclock his video card, if I heard that correctly.
Yeah.
To get Call of Duty 4 to run or another game to run.
There's something wrong with that card.
I mean, either you don't have the right motherboard for something, either your processor is outdated or something. It didn't sound like that was the case, but like you said, Dan, if you have to go to that extent to play a game with that card at a reasonable resolution, it's probably the card.
Yeah, and it's a troubleshooting problem. If you're you know into tinkering with computers and trying to figure out, you know, it's a puzzle. It's trying to figure out what went wrong there. First thing I would do would be to put that card in another machine and see if it has the same problem. Because if it does, that's just a bad card. If it doesn't, then you might have some more significant problem. And like the BioShock problem with the sound not working could be any number of things, but probably sound card drivers. And if you have an onboard sound card, then that could mean your motherboard just has a crappy built-in integrated sound card. Could get around that with just a cheapy old sound card, possibly. If you even have a slot for an old one, I guess you'd have to get a new one. But you know, there are cheap ones out there.
Yeah, but hang in there. Hopefully, you'll get that feeling of great redemption once things are all in balance and working.
I guess part of it is it's kind of a catch-22 because when you're building a computer, sometimes you pride yourself in finding good deals on components. But at the same time, if you buy something cheap, you might pay the price in frustration with it not working right.
Hey mates, I just wanted to extend a invitation to any PC gamers who play the game Guild Wars. I actually created a character to PM called By PC Gamer, and I received a 3-day suspension from NCSoft. According to them, it was against their terms of service to advertise products, and I thought that was kind of funny. I took a hit for the PC Gamer team. Anyways, as a backup, if any of you guys play the game, please PM me in-game, and you will receive an invite to my new secondary character. His name is A Rock Legend. A tip of the hat to Logan over there, mate. Again, with me at A Rock Legend. And you will get an invite. You guys do a great job, and I love you guys. So please spread the word, and hopefully we can get a PC gamer present in that game. Thank you.
Wow.
That's great.
A little love for Logan via Guild Wars. And, of course, we encourage all of our readers and listeners to advertise our products within games whenever possible.
But only if they get suspended for it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's hardcore.
That's how you know you're a real fan.
I don't know if I'll go so far as to encourage people to violate the terms of service of games.
I mean, in the case of an MMO, that's obviously to avoid gold farming services, things of that nature. But a shame.
I will violate any terms of service to promote PC Gamer and its surrounding entities.
It's that kind of attitude that will get you promoted in this military, Andy.
Hoorah.
That's right.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. Congratulations on 4 years of podcast. This is Foamy from Iowa. Just wondering if you guys have any good suggestions for a repository that states wherever games save their actual save game data for a good way to do a backup of all your save games. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real standardized way to do it. So yeah. Outside of... some of them save in your my documents folder under their own folder. Some of them save under my documents, my game. Some of them save under the user folder, and then in the local application data files in a hidden folder. It's all over the map. There is unfortunately no good way to save all of them at once.
And there's no standardized file extension that you can even search for.
Nope.
It's all specific to the game. Yeah, I mean, that's a shame. I mean, maybe the best way of doing it for me would just be, you know, find an automated backup service that you like and just track down those folders and link to them, I guess.
Yeah, that's a lot of manual work. And even if you want to go back and restore, like if you reinstall your machine and reinstall your games and you want to restore them, you would then have to go back and manually put those back in.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really save you all that much work unless you, except for automating the backup process.
I'll agree. I mean, definitely the first service, you know, between Steam or Impulse or somebody third party that introduces something. I mean, we sort of had Steam Cloud talking about it. Introduces something that just saves your game saves either through their servers or lets you house them somewhere clean and understandable and easy to reach. That's going to be a really helpful thing. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, if people would just agree on you know, okay, let's all put the games, I'll put the save games in the My Games folder under My Documents. But can we just do that? You know, put them all there, please.
Yeah, I mean, I
just don't understand. Let me check my Documents folder right now because I think there are a bunch of examples in there. Okay, I've got just in my Documents folder. There is a Battlefield Heroes, Battleforge, Battle Station Specific. What else we got? Red Alert 3, Tom Clancy's Hawks, Wolverine, World in Conflict, and then that's not even in the My Games folder. In My Games, you got Civilization Beyond the Sword, Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway, Company of Heroes, Crisis Warhead, Dawn of War 2, Fallout 3, Gas Powered Games has their own folder within that, and within that is Demigod, Mercenaries 2. Merchants of Brooklyn. Why is that even still on here?
you should really play it at night.
Yeah, they're all like scattered all over, and there's a bunch that aren't even in the folder at all. They're elsewhere. So, and it's kind of a hopeless cause, and it's ridiculous. I don't understand why they haven't just settled on a place.
I'd like to think it isn't that difficult. It's just a matter of the way developers are used to doing things. I mean, I guess there's maybe a few games that save screenshots that they use during loading sequences while you're about to play. But yeah, I don't know.
One of the issues with storing them like in a service like Steam Cloud is that a lot of games have save games that are quite large. I mean, they can be like 20 megs or more per save game. And you know that adds up when you've got thousands of people saving their game, like saving multiple games on your service. So yeah. And that's a significant amount of storage space.
Especially people like me that save it like every 5 minutes, just because you're just worried it's going to crash.
Right.
All right, gentlemen. So Dan, I know you've been playing Batman, or replaying Batman, I guess, and Jedi Knight. We mentioned that, but otherwise, what's on your playlist this week?
Oh, whatever. I can't talk about that. I can talk about
such
playing.
Tease.
Well, I could talk about gratuitous space battles again, but I actually haven't played that much this week. Jedi Knight and Batman have sucked up pretty much all of my extra time. I can tell you what I want to play. What I hope I get some time to play, which would be Resident Evil 5, which Logan has yet to stop raving about, and I want to play some Red Faction Guerrilla because I really like breaking things.
Damn it! Same with me.
I just need to find the time to do it.
Well, that's a fine playlist, Dan. I commend you. Andy Bauman, how about yourself?
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of time to be playing games. I played Shadow Complex on 360, Marble Blaster Ultra for like 10 minutes each day. That's about all the time I have. So I've kind of been a bad PC gamer this week. Bad PC gamer.
We're disappointed.
I just spent like $90 on freaking DS games, and I have no time to play those either. So it's like I'm just piling up games I can't play.
Well,
but I do want to play Resi 5 and Red Faction Guerrilla on PC. Or good. Red Faction, is that what it's called? Guerrilla?
Yeah. Red Faction Guerrilla, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, gosh. And unfortunately, Batman.
There are no actual gorillas running around. I think that would be an awesome game. If you could deform the terrain and blow up buildings and you were playing as a gorilla.
And primates just come out
Amy,
of the earth.
Amy, yes. Blow up. Amy, love. Explosion.
How do you say big explosion in sign language?
Amy, big explosion.
Let's do that.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure what sort of odd role playing thing you're playing out in your mind there, Andy.
Congo? Hello.
Congo.
Yeah.
That was such a good book and such a terrible movie.
Love.
I skipped that movie. All right, Josh. Show me what you got.
Alright, I've just been playing ridiculous amounts of World of Warcraft for the magazine. I captured 1,023 screenshots yesterday of vanity pits.
My god.
Yes, it was outrageous. Every single possible location and animal and pose, my mind was almost destroyed, but the first thing I did when I went home was play World of Warcraft for like 3 hours. So,
just to cool down.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I've also, I don't know if this counts. It's on a PC. It is a game. Fantasy football, first weekend. And so I've been having a lot of fun talking with people on Twitter a lot, actually. Matt Schuler.
Did you have a draft, dude?
No, it's the first season. We already drafted. And I lost to my brother on the Monday night game. It was killer. So I'm playing my dad this week, though. So I'm looking forward to that. Wow. And then I want to be playing Mini Ninjas and Batman. They both finally downloaded overnight last night. So I'm going to go. I'll play them tonight, hopefully.
Good. I encourage you being a small ninja.
How about you, Evan?
Very good. Yeah, thanks for asking. I've been playing the hell out of Zuma's Revenge. And I mean, and I finally figured it out. It is Peggle for snipers. I mean, if you like being a sniper in a game. Like,
yes,
I do. So, I mean, you know how the game works. You know Zuma, right?
No.
Okay,
isn't
so
the one with the frog?
It is the one with the frog. There's a collection of colored balls that sort of wind their way through this course, and if they get to the end, you lose, so you want to sort of match them on the way before they get there. And I mean, you get in a situation where you make what's called a gap shot. So if you imagine sort of two lines of colored balls and you make a gap in the first one and you shoot through that gap to make a match in the one behind it, it's an amazing feeling. I mean, it's fantastic. And there's new power-ups where you have laser eyes and you're blowing things up, and you have like kind of like the shotgun effect with one of the power-ups. And I've been saying to Gary and Dan, I mean, they basically added more pop cap to the game. Like they took the pop cap off the shelf and just kind of poured it into the frog's mouth, and this is what they got. And it's lovely. It definitely captures what pop cap does well in terms of giving crazy amounts of visual feedback, being very colorful, creating that, you know, just one more round feel, and then you do 10 more.
Yeah.
And I really encourage people to just take a look at it at the very least.
So would you say it's very riveting?
Oh gosh. I'm glad you made a pun, honestly, because
because now he has a reason to hit you.
I'm in Utah, sucker.
The writing, there's only a small amount of it, obviously, like the little quotes that the characters say. There's bosses in the game for the first time, which is interesting. It's very quaint, and you get the sense that it's a lot of the Plants vs. Zombies guys that are writing it, which is great. Other than that, last weekend I played a lot of, I discovered this new mode in Counter-Strike, that a lot of servers use as a mod called Gun Game.
Yes, I love Gun Game.
It's amazing. So basically you start with a pistol, you know, depending on if it's a reverse gun game. You start with a pistol, and for every kill you get, you advance to the next weapon. So the next more powerful weapon, you're getting shotguns and sniper rifles at the very end. And it's just fantastic arcadey nonsensical shooting, usually played within, you know, levels that look like Super Mario. They're very geometrical and they look like, you know, there's something ridiculous, and it's just fantastic. I mean, the server I was playing on, they had this mod in place where if it was ever a one-on-one situation where one player was left on either team, they would challenge each other to a knife fight suddenly, and there'd sort of be this countdown, and there'd be a song that plays in the background, like the Final Countdown or the theme from Rocky or like the Batman Begins theme, and just adding this like comedy and weird amount of drama is just really refreshing to come back to.
So it adds dramedy.
Lots of dramedy and an abundance of it for sure.
Well, I'm glad to hear everybody jumped on my invitation to play Darkest of Days this week.
That's on my list too.
We certainly failed that.
I reissue the challenge. Play some Darkest of Days.
If I can only play Batman or Darkest of Days, which one?
You can play both.
Find the time, Josh.
All right, sleep is for suckers.
I need to quit the real job. That's what I need to do.
If you were a real gamer, you'd play both.
I want to be a real gamer.
Batman is unquestionably the better game. But Darkest of Days is also entertaining.
Oh, I need to renew my subscription to PC Gamer.
Is that so? Well,
how would one do that? Because I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, let me assist you with that. As we're all managing our cumulatively large backlogs of games, you might just want to head on over to PCGamer.com.
Is that all?
You know, maybe type in some information. Maybe it's your name and your address, per se. And then, you know, in a few weeks, we'll send you a very fine magazine. And then again, every single month.
Feel free to type in a friend's name and a friend's address, and also attach. You can attach your money or a friend's money if you have access to a friend's money.
Either way, we accept it all. It's fantastic. But
discourage credit card fraud.
Of course, and in the meantime, of course, we encourage you guys to send us your questions for next week. Give us a ring at 877-404-1337. Extension 724, or if you prefer email, just hit us up at pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com as an MP3 file, under 60 seconds if you can. It's a challenge, it's a race against time. All right, folks, well, thanks for joining us this week. I don't know about you guys. I'm looking forward to PC Gamer Podcast number 200. That's not too far away.
Oh,
shit. We should do something amazing.
Yeah, we got to do something really cool for that.
We'll figure it out.
Lasers.
Lasers. Lots of lasers. Fantastic. And bunny ears. I think Logan just motioned.
More lasers than you've ever seen on a podcast. Oh, and no game mechanic puns. I don't want to hear about any mechanic characters that are actually in game.
None of that. No double entendres at all in any circumstance.
Kanye is going to interrupt our 200th podcast.
Yo, this podcast.
Yo, I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce's podcast is way better.
Our lovely listener questions.
Not that lovely.
Well, one or two of them are.
You are. Yes, you.
Yes, you, the listener.
Yes. You know who I'm talking to.
The hell was that?
That was Gary popping all the bubbles on bubble wrap at once. I told him you can only pop them one at a time. And he just went and recklessly did like 50 at once.
Unbelievable. No restraints at all.
I know.